Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God for everyone here. Amen. Those that even may be on their way. God is good anyway, anyhow. He's God all by himself. We have so much to be thankful for. The fact that you're here is just another manifestation of the grace of God. The fact that we serve a wonderful God, a God that has done everything, has all things under control, and he has our best interests at heart. We have total peace in a chaotic world. We can have total peace because we serve a God that controls all things. And you know, when you have, if you are the recipient of God's grace, and the fact that you know our God controls all things, and he has everything at his decree, then we can rest and be assured in that. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, your love, and your mercy. Father, we thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we just thank you for being so good. We thank you, Lord, for the everlasting comfort that you've given us in Christ. Father, we thank you, Father. We just thank you for all those that are here, even those that are on their way, Father. We ask that you will continue to take us higher in the doctrines of salvation, higher in grace, higher in what you've done for us in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will bless this ministry. Bless all those that are here, Father. Breathe upon this ministry according to your will. Father, we ask that you will strengthen our pastor. We ask that you will just help him to feel better according to your will, Father. We just ask and bless his accomplice, Father, even as she's journeying, Father. And we ask you to bless her. Bless all those that are here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Thank God. We're going right to our scripture. Amen. We're going right to our scripture. And the goal for today is message. We're going to call the scripture out. And by the grace of God, we're going to exegete the scripture. Then we're going to explicate or explain the scripture. And after that, I'm going to sit down. Amen? Amen. Because if you're up here running your mouth and it's not focused on Christ, you're going to mess up. You know, I've seen a lot of preachers get up there and they say a lot of stuff. And it's not about the word. And you see, when you do that, your own opinions take over. So no, after you explain the text, sit down. Amen? So, what we're going to do is go right into the scripture. And our reader today is going, amen, Elder Nickerson. And again, let's keep our pastor in your prayers. He's been feeling well the past day or so. Lord bless him to feel better. Amen? And thank God for that. Thank God for Brother Darren and Eric this morning. Amen? Thank God for them. Amen. At this time, now, our base scripture is going to be Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 23. Now, we're going to read that those scriptures. Now, there's no way we're not going to cover that today, but these are the key to keep everything in context. We're going to read Romans, again, chapter 3, verse 9 through 23. We'll read this in the King James, and Elder Nicholson, we're going to focus the part that we're going to focus on today. We'll have you read that in the Greek text. Amen? But to kind of keep everything in terms of what the Spirit of God is saying through the Apostle Paul here, we'll go directly into our reading and trust that everyone has a Bible. And if you have a Greek text, amen, because we're going to read again, all Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 23 in the King James, and the part that we're going to exegete and explicate this morning, we'll read that in the interlinear Greek. So let's go right into our text again. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 23. And Elder, why don't you read that very loud so everyone can have a conveyance of what the Spirit of God is saying this through us today. Amen? Yes, we can read Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 23, King James.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, No, not one.
None righteous. Okay.
There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
None seeketh after God.
They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one.
Not a single one that doeth good.
Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose full mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law said is said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God.
All the world guilty. Amen.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all men that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned.
All have sinned.
And come short of the glory of God.
And come short of the glory of God. Of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All. Bishops, priests, elders, ministers, deacons, laymen, we have all fallen short. No one measures up to God's standards. Amen. And if you understand this, then you can have a greater appreciation for grace. Because grace, the thought conveyance of grace, is that God has done everything and we bring nothing to the table.
Amen.
Now, taking this one step further, we're going to go back. Elder, I want you to go back to Romans. Go back to their Romans. And let's look at verse. We're going to look at verse 9. I want you to read verse 9, 10, and 11 in the interlinear Greek. Again, verse 9, 10, and 11, read that in the interlinear Greek, because I don't think I'm going any further as far as through the exegesis and the explication this morning, but we want to see this. What is the Spirit of God saying to us in these three verses? Okay, Ellen. Do you have
in the interlinear Greek,
mm-hmm.
verse 9, chapter 3, Romans, what therefore do we excel not at all?
Do we excel, okay?
For we previously accused Jews, both and Greeks, all under sin to be.
Jews and Greeks. Or we can say Jews and Gentiles, church. What is God saying? God wants us to know that no one is excluded. No one. We are all are under sin. Now, look at verse 10.
As it has been written.
See, now notice the Greek, in the King James, they have messed that up. They said, as it is written. It has been written. Past complete action. Keep going.
There is not a righteous man, not one. There is not the one understanding. There is not the one seeking God.
Seeking God. In other words, there's no one, church. There's no one seeking God. Now, I'm going very slow on this, because if I go too fast, you're gonna miss it. in terms of what the Spirit of God is saying. Because how many know the Holy Spirit is a teacher?
Yeah.
But the Spirit of God wants us to see here is that there is no one that has ever seen God on their own.
Amen.
No one. Now, looking back at verse 3. Now, if you look at what then, where it says, in verse 3:9, it says, what then, that is a superordinating conjunction. Okay, now, I'm going to go slow on this because you're going to miss it. You'll miss it because it causes a lot of, we don't care about opinions. We don't care about what man say. What does the Spirit of God say to the church? That's what it's all about. Where is the Spirit of God? Now, when you're looking at this being a superordinating conjunction, are we better? That's a verb indicative. Better, middle, or passive. It's a verb indicative. So the point is that verse 9 is ordered, is coordinated to what Paul previously said in chapters 1 and 2. All
right.
Now, you cannot just take chapter 3 and run with it. You have to go back and see what did the Spirit of God say to motivate Paul to write chapter 3, the fact that nobody is seeking God on their own. Well, you have to go back. Now, we're not going to do a lot of reading, but in chapter 1, you read chapter 1, thank God. In our gospel, it all starts out with good news. Because it talks about that fact. In fact, if you go back to chapter 1, it talks about the fact that we have received this wonderful grace. Verse 5, they say, we are the recipients of this wonderful grace, and this grace was given to us in eternity. That God's grace that covers sanctification, justification, adoption, propitiation, righteousness, the agape love of God, the love that never changed. God has always loved you. He loves you now because He has always loved you. But somebody say, you just told me that that we've all sinned. Yes, in spite of God putting you in the time capsule, we need to elevate our thinking beyond this time, because if you just look at where you are in time, you will stay frustrated, depressed, messed up. But you need to elevate yourself beyond the time to know, in spite of my sin, in spite of my weaknesses, I have always been loved by God. Now, you have always been loved by God. The fact that you have always been loved. Paul tells us in Romans in the first chapter that even you Gentiles, that you have received this wonderful grace that God has given us. We have so much to be thankful for every day. Our mouth should say, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for me. That my life is secure. No matter what goes down, I am secure in Christ. My security is not in my bank account. It's not in the house I live in. It's not on my job. It's not whether I'm Republican or whether or not I'm a Democrat or whether or not I'm an independent. My security is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, looking at this, Paul says here in chapter 1 in Romans, he talks about the fact that you have received this wonderful grace in eternity. But then in chapter 1, Paul put everything goes in time and says in time that there's a lot of crazy things happening. Things such as we were, first of all, Paul says in verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. In other words, he said, it is. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. In other words, when you ever hear our gospel, you ever hear Paul talking about preaching the gospel, he's talking about the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
The revelation of the mystery, that message that was revealed to Paul. God took him out on the desert of Arabia and gave him information that was never before revealed to man.
Amen.
The fact that Jews and Gentiles all one in Christ Jesus. The fact that you were saved in eternity. Information that has never been revealed. God gave it to Paul. Now, he goes on to say that he were in time. You have always been what? Saved in eternity. But then he goes back to the time capsule to say at one time we were me and glorified God not as God, but were not thankful. They became fools, and they changed the glory of God into image made like unto corruptible man. And God gave them over to uncleanness. In other words, in the second part of Romans, chapter 1, Paul goes into talking about the depravity of man. How men are depraved in the time. In time, you are depraved. In eternity, you will always be with Christ. And that's why it's so important to manifest actualization by God's decree in eternity and manifestation in time. Because if you do not differentiate those, if you do not draw a line of demarcation between actualization by God's decree in eternity and manifestation in time, you will never understand Paul's writings. But you know, the key is this: whenever you hear, whenever you read the fact that you were saved in eternity, the fact that you are one in Christ, the fact that you're in Him, you know you're in eternity because you're with Christ. But whenever our gospel talks about our failures and our weakness and our sin, you know you're in time. You know you're in manifestation mode. Now, so looking at Romans, the latter part, Paul talks about the fact that we were all, what, in sin. But then, he goes to chapter 2. So, you know, the Jews, when they read what, when Paul conveyed this in chapter 1, the Jews said, oh, y'all, you know, you messed up Gentiles. We have always had the law. So we are special. Well, look at what Paul says here. Elder, why don't you go to Romans chapter 2. Let's go to Romans chapter 2 and look at the, let's read verse 1 and 2. Go right into the Greek. Amen. Right into the Greek. In other words, the Jews who read what Paul said in Romans about doing all these vain imaginations. In other words, Paul gave us explicit definition of depravity in the latter part of Romans 1. Then the Jews would say, oh, we have the law. Well, let's see the thought conveys there. Elder chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
Wherefore, inexcusable thou art, O man, everyone judging in what for thou judgest the other thyself thou condemnest for the same things.
In other words, yeah, you judging the Gentiles, but guess the same things that I mentioned in Romans chapter 1, you guys are doing the same thing. So nobody's free. Everybody. In other words, and this where he goes to chapter 3, says, look, the Gentiles, you sin, the Jews sin, we all have sinned and fallen short. No one measures up to the standard and the righteousness of God. No one measures up. Now, in verse 2 again, that's the indicative verb, past third person singular. It's a coordinating conjunction. It hath been written. Now, you need to understand. See, we have to understand that the fact that nobody seeks God on their own. No man. Because in the depraved heart, depravity is not looking for God. And once you understand this, you have a great appreciation for the wondrous grace of God. What God has done for us in eternity before the foundation of the world. Now, we need to ask ourselves one question, because our gospel can stand on its own. In other words, our gospel does not need any help. Anything about our past, our present, and our future is in those 14 epistles of Paul. Romans through Hebrews. However, you can go into some other books to corroborate or to strengthen what our gospel has conveyed in the mystery, the revelation of the mystery. We had 8 months Sunday school on what is the revelation of the mystery. It's that volume of truth that was given. And what's that volume? Hallelujah. Romans through Hebrews, those epistles. It's that volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Information that was never revealed. Never revealed. Now, does history give testimony that there's none righteous? Because see, people love to put identifications on people. and put them as a higher standard than what God did. So the key is this. Does scripture, history give testimony that all are depraved? Now, but what is the essence of this? What is the purpose of this? See, when we go through this, it's not designed to just show that men are depraved. It's going to connect this to what? Grace. And what God has done for us in eternity. Because when you have an understanding of the depravity of man, you have a great understanding of the doctrines of the grace of God. And if you do not understand total depravity, you will never understand grace. Impossible. You cannot. Impossible. You have a understanding of the fact of total depravity, then the cogitation is you have a total understanding of what it means to be saved by the grace of God. For by grace are we saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Not of tongues. Not of baptisms. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's easy to boast in works. Now, we mentioned earlier a few weeks ago that yes, we so far we getting over testimony to Adam. Yes, Adam, God said, do not partake of the fruit. Adam sinned. Then we gave testimony that Noah, God, after God did the wonderful work in the ark, that Noah went out and got drunk. Noah sinned. Abraham, we mentioned how Abraham lied in the promise in the Abrahamic covenant. Promise. Abraham messed up. And then we mentioned Moses. Well, I believe he stopped at Moses. Let's go to Moses real quick. Let's go to Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. In other words, we're looking at the fairer hands of these dispensations and see that even though God had a plan for them, we can look at the other side and see that God was still working in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their problems. God was still fulfilling his purpose. No matter what you're going through, God is still fulfilling his purpose in your life. Now, let's go to Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. Elder, go to 10 through 13.
Numbers chapter 20.
Yes. Verse 10 through 13. Now, right now we're in law. This is the fifth dispensation. And we know a dispensation is a what? Is a government ordained by God. It's an administration. And every dispensation has a covenant. And right now we're in law, and we know this is the Mosaic covenant. And the information that we have here is going to be directly proportional to that covenant. You're not going to get no information outside that covenant. If you want to really understand the doctrines of salvation and what God has done for us, do not go in the law. You're not going to get it.
Amen.
It ain't there because it's going to be limited to that covenant. Amen. So if you really want to get information on what? The doctrines of salvation, justification, adoption, propitiation, go in the grace covenant.
Yes.
Because you have more information. You have a higher volume of truth and information.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, you got it, Elder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Verse 10, third chapter, 20th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock.
Wait, you Moses? You mean this great man of God, Moses? Moses, who God used to deliver the children of Israel from open up the Red Sea? You mean Moses had some problems? All right, let's keep going.
Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice.
Have mercy.
And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. And the Lord spake unto Moses.
Now, what did God say? Okay? The man that God mightily used, what? Under the law, in the dispensation. The Mosaic law, what was God's words to Moses?
And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land for which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them.
And God, in other words, God said, listen to you, God said, Moses, because you messed up, that's it. In other words, God did not, it had nothing to do with Moses' salvation, but the fact that it showed you that Moses had some problems, and Moses had some weaknesses. In spite of being used by God, there were still some weaknesses. And you don't understand, God can use us in spite of our weaknesses and our problems, because like one preacher said, you see, sometimes people feel, Lord, I want to be used by you, but whenever I get this right in my life, whenever I get this right, that right, that right, you know, they say, if God waited for everybody to get everything right, nothing would happen. If God used us, his purpose is going to be established. His purpose is going to manifest. His purpose, his will, his function is going to come to pass in spite of our depravity. Amen. And doesn't it give testimony to the glory of God that in spite of what we go through in time, that God is still using us? If God waited for everybody to get right, oh my God. Faith. Oh my God. Nothing. Nothing ever happened. So Moses messed up. Now, the key is this. Here is this. I'm going to use it now. Even though David was not a federal head, but if you're looking at in the Old Testament, probably the two most powerful names is that you see is David and Moses. And somebody says, oh yes, David, the king of Israel. Great man of God. Okay, I agree. Man, after God's own heart. Yes, the man that Jesus, our Lord, is going to one day sit on David's throne and rule this world from Jerusalem. Oh, King David. And you know, we all been to Sunday school and we all heard his great stories about King David. Wonderful. I'm not minimizing that. Thank God. It was God's purpose. But let's look at the other side of King David. Because see, what happens if you understand that God's purpose in our life, it's not affected by what happens on a day-by-day basis. God's purpose is one decree, all already done. Manifestation is in increments. Decree is one. God decreed. That's it. There's no such things as subsequent decrees. It's one decree, singular. Different manifestations, plural. So, increments. When you're looking at increments of time, you're looking at different manifestations, but decree, one decree. Amen. That's why the Bible says, give testimony. I am the Lord, I change not. God can't change because he's already given a decree. Amen. And he's not going to change from that. So don't get mad at the Lord, why does it come out this way or whatever. Don't get mad at yourself and you get all frustrated. Understand, it was decreed. I said, you been telling me it was decreed for me to marry this so-and-so? Yes! It was decreed for me to marry this her so-and-so? Yes! It was decreed. If you, you know what? If we ever get to the point that we can rest in the what God has already done, that our life is secure, we can have peace, comfort, in a chaotic world, we can have peace. And you know, you get a glimpse of that. Have you noticed? I mean, as testimony, have you noticed? You go to our gospel. I mean, this man, the Apostle Paul, trouble around. Everywhere he went, there was trouble. Everywhere he went, and he slept, trouble abounded. Shipwrecks, dealing with religious proud people. Everywhere, I mean, a life of trouble. But isn't it interesting that we can have a great revelation into peace, yes, and security, mm-hmm, when you go to those writings?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
A man who had trouble everywhere, but yet that same man, uh-huh, you could see that he had the peace of God.
Amen.
Isn't it interesting that the deeper, all of Paul's epistles, it's our gospel, right? Grace contract. But isn't it interesting that those deep epistles, those, I call them, it's all God's word. But like those epistles that really give us the deeper things of God in terms of truth, in terms of just the deep stuff. Isn't it interesting? It was written in a time when he was in prison. Amen. So God is not limited. Let's not limit God. Amen. So now David, the one that, oh, he's a man after God's heart. Now let's analyze this, because in spite of some things, in spite of what happens in time, God has a purpose for our life. If you are a member in the body of Christ, you should never look at yourself or what happens on a day-by-day basis. Always look to your position in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to, again, we're testimony, because Lord be willing, either later today or when I come back next week, that grace, when we see that man has no hope outside of God, that we can understand what grace is all about. Now let's go to 2 Samuel. What about this man, a man after God's own heart? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We're doing some corroboration today. We just want to corroborate. Amen. So I'm gonna, you know, amen. If you notice now, we're not going to these books. We're not like what Aaron's getting ready to read. What he's getting ready to read. We're not going to 2 Samuel for doctrine. We're going there just to strengthen what we've already stated.
Amen.
What the Holy Spirit's already stated about all, nobody measures up.
Amen.
And see, this is the time we're talking about Israel, and it's sad that so many, even churches today, they go to places, they go to the Old Testament for direction.
Right.
Where they go to Deuteronomy, they go to Leviticus, they go to Kings and Psalms, they go there for direction. In other words, it's like these are children of Israel, and thank God for what he did for Israel. But see, as the member of the body of Christ, God has done more for you.
Amen.
The commonwealth of Israel is not our example of the workings of God. We can go there for information, because if you look at history, you know, we stated earlier, many things clear up if you just look at the historical perspective.
Right, yeah.
And if you want to guide your life by what happened to Israel, what's the history of Israel? It's the story of a people that for generations they fumbled, they messed up, they were, in fact, right now they're blinded. And they are still, they have not found their way.
Amen.
Now one day God is going to take the blinders off. But the nation, the study of Israel in terms of a people, it was a people that has fumbled their way through thousands of years. And even today,
man,
they are still blinded.
Right.
Except what Paul says in Romans 11:5, there's even today, in this age of grace,
amen,
there's a remnant according to God's what, election. But by and large, the nation is blinded.
Man.
You're not blinded.
No.
So you don't follow Israel. Hey, you're not blinded. God has opened up your eyes. Amen.
Man,
man, so somebody say, well, I'm going to wait till Israel get blessed. Well, listen, you are a blessed. You don't wait till Israel. You in Christ, you are the blessed. Amen. Come on, let's read. Come on, Ella. 2 Kings, what did I say, chapter 11?
It says 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel.
Chapter, I'm sorry. 11. I said 2, it was 2, 2 Kings, I'm sorry. 2 Kings.
2 Kings.
Chapter 11. I want to go to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel?
Yes. Yes, right. Chapter 11. I'm sorry. Chapter 11. And we're going to begin. Let's read verse 1. Everybody got it? We can read. Let's go to 2 Samuel, chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11, let's begin with the first verse. Yeah, that's right, that's the one. You got it? Are you ready, Elba?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem.
But David, now you notice the measurement, David was at Jerusalem, right? So David was at the king of Israel. He was at Jerusalem. But we're going to see, now we know this is all the workings of God in terms of this, but let's see, let's look at this again. The man after God's own heart.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, come on, Elder.
And it came to pass in an evening tide that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon.
Okay, we know the story, right? David was what? In the evening, David saw the woman, Bathsheba, she was washing. Okay, keep going, Elder.
And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite?"
Okay.
And David sent messengers and took her, and she came unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned into her house.
Okay, now we're going to, again, we're strengthening what we mentioned, what Paul says, what nobody measures up. You mean King David, Moses, nobody measures up. We're going to go back to our gospel. Nobody measures up.
Man.
Now, religion messes you up. I've heard so many preachers, they tell the story here, and they say how, you know, the Bible says David sinned. And I heard them say, oh, no, but she was bathing, and she tried to tempt David. Listen, stick to the scripture. The Bible does it. David messed up.
Amen.
Go with what God said. Amen. Come on, keep going, Elder.
Amen.
Now notice, and now notice what the woman is going to convey to David. Keep going, Elder. Verse
and
five.
The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child.
In other words, he said, I'm with child. And notice, what was David's response?
And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David.
Now notice now, see, understand. David committed adultery, alright? Now, the fact that David sinned, so somebody said, oh, David must be crying to God at this point. Oh, Lord, I messed up. I sinned. In other words, because the Lord said, if you commit adultery, you're dead. So now, did David run to God at this point? In other words, he got a woman, the woman was conceived through David. Did he seek after God? Let's keep going. Let's find out.
Ready?
Yes.
And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered.
In other words, David wants to say, okay, David wants to find out what's happening in terms of the war, because again, he tarried at Jerusalem. So David's saying, how goes it? In other words, keep going. Look at verse 8.
And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king.
No, it's from the king. In other words, David is trying to manipulate this situation. He's trying to cover up. Keep going, Elder.
But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all of the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house.
In other words, David is trying to get Uriah to go sleep with his wife, so that now he can put the blame on Uriah. The man after God's own heart, church. Let's keep going.
And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then did thou not go down into thy house?
In other words, David's saying, "Why? Come on, Uriah, you know, you are the girl's husband. Why didn't you go down to your house?" Keep going.
And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and lie with my wife, as thou livest and as by thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing.
David said, I will not do this thing. So now David's, now notice, see, let me tell you something. If God has not vetoed that depravity, it's just going to manifest into something else. You should thank God for what you have, for where you are, because no matter what, you've gone through, you should thank God. We should never point a finger at no one else, because the same thing that person did, the same potential is in you. It's just that God, in His sovereign decree, has vetoed your depravity.
Amen.
There's no baddest in the belly. In other words, you cannot say, okay, because this person done this, and I have not done this, I'm better. No one. We're all depraved in time.
Amen.
It's just that through the mercies of God, thank God. Thank God that the things that we see happen in the time, that you can say all you, that everything goes back to God, because He, in His sovereign grace, just put a clamp on your depravity, and you can only go so far.
Amen.
Amen. But now, notice, but David is still what? In this situation, he's going to the next level. In other words, he couldn't get the man to sleep with his wife. So somebody said, what's going to be the next thing? Keep going.
And David said to Uriah, tarry here a day or so, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and then tomorrow. And when David had called him...
Notice now, the first time David couldn't get him to sleep with his wife. Now, the next time, notice what David does. It's just depravity continuing to manifest. Keep going, El.
He did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house.
He still, Uriah still did not go down. Okay. And it came to pass.
And it came to pass in the morning that David sent a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die.
That he may be smitten and die. Keep going.
And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, and he assigned Uriah unto the place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite also.
Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, he did what? He died, church. In other words, this man after God's own heart, this man who wrote a good portion of the books and Psalms and so many other books, this man that God did some wonderful things to, King of Israel, amen, committed adultery, and then not only that, the depravity continued to manifest to murder.
Amen.
Notice, and what happened is this. And see, notice, God did not say he's a man after my, you know, God said he's a man after my own heart in spite of what he did. God still had a purpose and plan for David in spite of what he did. In spite of what goes down in time, church, God has a plan and purpose for us. So what happens is this. It will only, when you understand depravity, you can see that God is still working out what? His will, His plan, and His purpose according to what He has already decreed. So from this, it says, in fact that David messed up, God, he was still a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
Now, we cover that dispensation. Now, people see, here's another thing, people get messed up. They're saying, you know, y'all, let's go look at this dispensation. We've been looking at the federal heads. Amen. Now, see, a lot of times people say, oh, Paul, the federal head of the grace dispensation. Amen. And then they say, the man that wrote 3/4 of the Bible, the New Testament. Amen. And then what they do, they say, oh, the man that God used in a mighty way. What about the man that God gave the revelation of the mystery? What about the man that God ushered in a whole new dispensation? What about the man that God showed things that was now before revealed to any other period of time? God showed him the fact that Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ. The fact that God showed him the fact that we were never in trouble. We have always been saved. You don't get that information in the other writings. See, the information you get in the other writings is that you out here and that God's going to come to rescue you. You're on your way to hell and that God's going to come to rescue you. Now you're on the way to heaven. You know, that's the cogitation of a lot of Christians today. you hear them say that, you know, I'm so glad I got saved today. Pastor, they'll say, if I did not get saved, I remember, they'll say, I'm so glad I got saved today, because if the Lord had not saved me today, if I had a heart attack, I would have died and gone to hell.
Amen.
What they're saying is that the truth has been not revealed, mm-hmm. that they have always been saved. Mm-hmm. But you won't get this information in the other writings.
Yeah.
What about the man that God called up to the third heaven and showed him wonderful things? Things that was unanswerable. God showed him so many wonderful things, probably the body of Christ. The deeper things of God. What about this man? Let's find out what about this man. Because you see, in the federal heads, they all messed up. Oh, in fact, let's correct that. Amen. Because see, Jesus Christ, hallelujah, he's a federal head under the kingdom. And you know, he can't mess up. He's always God. Always has been, always will be. He's perfect. But see, the other dispensation gives testimony to what? To the depravity of man. In fact, God appointed them as the federal heads in these dispensations in spite of whatever. See, if God waited for us to get it right, church, we've never gone nowhere.
Amen.
Thank God he used us in spite of ourselves. Amen? Now, let's go to Romans. Now, I know it's a little reader here, but we got to get this now. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. What about this man that God gave the revelation of the mystery? Romans chapter 11. I'm sorry, 7. Romans chapter 7. Doing more teaching today because I was 2 weeks ago. I was preaching. And I was sweating. I mean, I sweated. So I'm very pray for me. I'm trying to go a little slower today. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to go a little slower. I'm trying to obey my doctor. He was. I'm not gonna tell you what he told me when I told him. Amen. That's another story. Woo. Oh man, I'm gonna go slower. Okay, Romans chapter. Elder, you ready? Chapter 7. Let's go into, for time's sake, let's go right into the Greek. Chapter 7, verse 14.
Chapter 7, verse 14.
Everybody got it? Romans 7, 14. We go right into the Greek. For those that don't have the Greek, you can still go to 7, 14. Okay? But we're going to read this right into the Greek. Okay? Okay, Ella, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
But in the lineal Greek, for we know that the law, spiritual, is, but I, fleshly, am sold under sin.
Paul said, I'm sold under sin. Look at verse 15.
For what I work, I know not.
For
not that what I wish, this I practice.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hate, this I do.
Paul said, no, the verse 15, church, he said, the things that I hate, these are the things I do. Somebody said, why does somebody do the things they hate? Why do people do the things they hate? They're depraved.
Man.
It's simple.
Amen.
If God has not vetoed that depravity, you'll do the same thing.
I hear you.
You know, I used to work with Alcoholics for Christ, and I used to work with some of these brothers who were struggling with alcohol, and it's amazing, I learned a common pattern in a lot of them in situations. They say, hey, initially this stuff, it tastes terrible. Now, somebody, you think, wait a minute, why do they partake in something that tastes bad? You know, if it's bad, it tastes bad, why you take it? Amen. See, but what happened is this. We should never point the error that somebody's got a weakness in that area. Because, you know, when you start putting down other people, God will do his testimony or show you what? Some of your mess ups.
Amen.
But Paul said here, the things that I hate, that do I. And you've heard some people say, oh yeah, all those things that Paul mentioned in Romans, just they say, oh, that was before he came to Christ. Before God knocked him off the animal. They say, yeah, they said these are all things that Paul hated. All right, well, we'll see. Let's keep reading, Elder. Go to the next verse.
verse 15.
Uh-huh.
For what I work, I know not. For not what I wish, this I practice.
Keep going. What verse are you in now?
Okay, but what I hate, this I do. If but what I wish not, verse 16, this I do. I agree with the law that is good.
Uh-huh.
But now, no longer I work it, but the indwelling in me sin.
The indwelling in me, church, what Paul says, it is not I that do it, it's a sin that dwelleth in my flesh. Now you know, see that's right. If you don't separate the new man from the old man, you'll never understand Romans chapter 7. You know that sin does not dwell in the new man. The new man is recreated in Christ Jesus. The sin dwells in your mortal flesh.
Amen.
It's that flesh, that fleshly man that says, give no provision to the boy. That's that flesh that tells us, crucify that flesh.
Amen.
The sin dwells in the flesh, not the new man. And the reason that a lot of preachers and bishops get Romans chapter 7 all messed up, because they're trying to perfect the flesh.
Amen.
And you can never perfect the flesh. One day God's going to destroy this flesh. Why are you going to perfect something that what God's going to destroy? Now, as the doctrines of grace, shall we continue seeing the grace? No, God forbid. Amen. In fact, the mature Christian, when you read the fact, the mature mind, when you read the fact that God has done everything and that we are depraved, but at the same time, God is taking care of everything, the mature mind does not use this information as a license to sin. The mature mind goes into appreciation for Christ has already done for us in eternity.
Right.
Amen. Keep reading, D. And the elder.
Okay. Verse 18.
Mm-hmm.
Who I know that not dwells in me, this is in the flesh of me, good.
Dwelleth no good,
For to wish is present to me, but to work the good not.
Okay. Now, verse 19.
For not what I wish I do good, but what I wish not evil, this I practice.
Evil, in other words, the wish I don't want to practice evil, but the evil that I don't want to do, that would I do. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, Elder.
But if what wish not I, this I do, no longer I work it, but the dwelling in me sin.
For the dwelling in me sin, okay? Now, Elder, for time's sake, go to verse 24, because it's all, go to verse 24. What did Paul say in verse 24?
Wretched I man.
Wretched I man.
Who me will deliver from the body of this death?
And 25.
Thanks to God through Jesus Christ, the Lord of us. So then, myself, I, with one on one the hand, man, serve the law of God, but on the other hand, on the other flesh, with the law of sin.
In other words, Paul says here, oh wretched man that I am. You know you have never been wretched for as a new man. You are created in Christ Jesus. But when he talks about, oh wretched man that I am. Now here's the part that we want to summarize on. When Paul says here, all the things that I do, I am. These are what you call present indicatives. And a present indicative is a present fact.
Yeah.
It's a fact. These are present indicatives. The things that they're all present indicatives. In other words, it's not about what happened to Paul in the past.
Amen.
It's what about right now. He Amen. Said, right now we are depraved. Right now we are sinful. But at the same time, we have hope to know that God, in spite of the time capsule of depravity, God still has everything under control. Because before he created the time capsule, God already made you one in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do not look at time, look at eternity.
Amen.
And the problem that a lot of Christians have, they focus on what? time. Time is one day going to be destroyed.
Amen.
God's going to get rid of time. Amen. And everything that goes with it. Everything that's associated with time. But you were in Christ before he, God even created time. Now, I'm going to close out. I don't know. I think I started a little before 20. So I'm going to close out here. I'm going to close out in the seventh dispensation. And I will say that in the seventh dispensation, people have always looked at this time. We know this is going to be a time of peace. Jesus Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years. And now, we're not taking away from the fact that it's going to be a peaceful time. And the devil's going to be bound for 1,000 years. But for some cogitation, it's that. For some reason, people feel that, oh, in during that time, there'll be no depravity. There'll be no sin. Well, we need to understand, first of all, is there a time allocated to that period?
Amen.
Well, we know the fact that there's a time allocated, it's 1,000 years. You're in the time council. So the only difference is that in that time, Jesus Christ, there would be immediate retribution. At that time, everything is going to be under the reign of Christ. The enemy would be locked up for 1,000 years. And Jesus Christ will rule. And there'll be no more paying the lawyers to get off. In other words, there'll be no more manipulation. At that time, the young baby would lay down with the adder, the poor. At that time, because there will be peace. But men's heart will still be corrupt. Even during that time, in fact, the fact that there are going to be laws, the only reason that there are going to be laws, because if there were no potential for breaking anything, there would be no laws. But they're in kingdom law. In fact, everything that Jesus said, especially in Matthew and Mark and in Luke, refers to, prophecy, kingdom with prophecy, the future kingdom. Now, when you think of a time when everything is going to be ruled in righteousness and holiness and purity, then the things that Jesus said in Matthew, Mark, and Luke make sense. But the problem that so many people have, they try to make what Jesus said in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke, and apply that to this present evil age. And it will not work. You go out there and they say, the Lord said, if the man asks you for your coat, give him a cloak. So you're going to give somebody everything you got in this present evil age when men's hearts are corrupt.
Amen.
In fact, one of my former pastors who's gone to be the Lord, a brother came up to him and he said, Bishop, do you believe the Bible? Yeah, the Bible. Yeah, that's the word of God. And he said, well, Bishop, what about when Jesus said, turn the other cheek? That means that if somebody come to you right now and they smack you and aren't you going to turn the other cheek? And Bishop said, I'm going to tell you something. He said, I believe the Bible, but if somebody do that to me, that scripture will go out the window. See, if you take, see, you know what I'm saying? Somebody can smack you inside your head. See now, if somebody can smack you in this present evil age, you better do what you take to defend you, to protect yourself.
Amen.
Amen. You walk in the light that God has given you. Now, I'm gonna close. Now, I know some, you walk in the light. Some people say, "What about, I know some preachers are ministers that keep guns." Well, I ain't never had one. I ain't planning to get one because you don't know. Hey, depravity takes over. You don't know what you'll do. So the Bible says, that's me. The Bible says, refrain from even the appearance of evil. So that's something I ain't interested in having a gun in my house. Amen. But the point is that in this present evil age, do not take what Jesus said in the Messianic gospel. You jump over to the time when he ruled for 1,000 years and everything that Jesus said would make sense.
Amen.
Because you will have the right cogitation into what God has done for us before the foundation of the world. In closing, as a member of the body of Christ, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for the fact that, again, the focus today was not to show men's weaknesses in essence, because you already know what you're dealing with, right? But the focus is to show that in spite of you in time having the things that we have to deal with on a day-by-day basis, the fact that God is still has a plan for your life, and the fact that we can still look up. Our focus is not on the day-by-day events of life. Our focus is always on what God has already done for us in eternity. So when you feel, when you get depressed, and whatever it is, when you get out of it, looking in time, look up to redemption. Look up to propitiation. Look up to sanctification. Look up to justification. Look up to these nations, because no matter what happens, no matter since the since this volume of truth has been revealed to us through the Apostle Paul, originated by God, everything that's come down in over time, wars and diseases and turmoil, everything has happened. Nothing. Touch, justification, propitiation, adoption, reconciliation. Nothing can touch these nations, because these things give us our eternal focus on what God has done for us in eternity. And we can truly say that greater is he that's in us than he that's in Christ Jesus. We can truly say that he's always caused us to triumph, because our triumph is in him. And if we're looking in him, if you stay focused on him, you can go through life being victorious. Not that you won't have any problems, but you can say, Lord, I thank you that you have always given me the victory. And the victory does not come in myself, but it's through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you.